This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Paul Kengor, professor at Grove City College in Pennsylvania and author of the brand new book, Dupes, How America's Adversaries Have Manipulated Progressives for a Century. Dr. Kengor, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, it's always great to be with you. Thanks.
Well, there's a couple of different tracks in this book. One, of course, is how you believe progressives over the past century or so have fallen for some of the misleading statements and ideas lined out by our adversaries. And others is how Hollywood has actually been a very active tool in this process. Let's start with how the political dialogue has shifted over the past century and how actually some of America's leaders have kind of bought into some of the propaganda, perhaps for lack of a better word, certainly in the Cold War and maybe in some other ways. How did this get started? How did the first inroads, first footsteps in the door happen in our adversaries actually getting some of our leaders to do their work for them?
Yeah, well, it's a sort of time-honored tradition that really goes back to the founding of the Republic. But this really took an ugly upsurge after the Bolsheviks took Russia in 1917. And even more so when the Bolsheviks, when Lenin, Trotsky, Grigory Zinoviev, all these guys started the Comintern, the Communist International, in 1919. And that group, which had the very deliberate intention of spreading communism worldwide, I mean, they said this in all of their documents, they wanted communist parties around the world, they wanted one in America, and amazingly, I mean, the Comintern has started in March 1919, and just a few months later, in Chicago, in September 1919, the American Communist Party is started. And I include in the book, and we have this now, thanks to the declassified archives, I include the actual documents typed up from Chicago, from the Communist Party there, saluting, you know, the great Soviet Socialist Republic. Long live the Soviet Republics! Long live the Comintern! Long live the Communist International! You know, pledging themselves, these American comrades, to spreading communism in America and around the world. And what they would do, Greg, and this is so crucial, this is why people need to understand why this is important. The Communist Party in America, even at its peak membership in the 1930s, was never more than about 100,000 members. So what they did was they had to target liberals, non-communists, progressive and liberals on the left, the sort of softer left, who also believed in big government, but not quite as extreme as, you know, Lenin did, who also believed in workers' rights and redistribution of wealth, but again, only matters of degree to what the Bolsheviks did. They had to enlist these people in the communist marches and petitions and rallies, and quite often, well, usually almost always, the communists hid their true intentions. So these liberals would be there literally marching in lockstep, you know, arm in arm with these closet communists. And then an anti-communist would come along and report in one of the Hearst newspapers or from the House Un-American, the House Committee on Un-American Activities, one of these groups. They'd stand up and say, "Whoa, you guys are marching with communists." And the communists would turn and say to the liberals, "We're not communists. You're a red-baiting McCarthyite." And the liberals would say, "They're not communists. You're a red-baiting McCarthy." It was unbelievable to watch how liberals parroted this line. And to be fair, my heroes in the book are liberals who weren't suckered, who weren't duped. And there were many of them, and I feature them at length. But far too often, far too many of these liberals were duped again and again and again. And to see it now in these declassified documents is really pretty shocking and pretty sad.
How did that manifest itself, Dr. Kengor, in domestic policy or in foreign policy as the Cold War started to heat up after World War II?
It's there in the 30s. It's there in World War II. In fact, a really hideous communist front group called the American Peace Mobilization, which, by the way, we're just learning in the last few weeks, Howard Zinn, the great historian of the liberal left who's read in all of our colleges, joined American Peace Mobilization protests. Frank Marshall Davis, mentor to Barack Obama in Hawaii, was there at the founding of the American Peace Mobilization in Chicago in the fall of 1940. Groups like this were actually pro-Hitler pacifying Hitler, assuaging Hitler, because Hitler at that point was in a non-aggression pact with Stalin. And they're urging FDR not to provide aid to Britain, because Stalin was against aid to Britain at that point, because Hitler is against aid to Britain. That group, by the way, turns on a dime, does a total 180 on June 22, 1941, the moment news came to the United States that Hitler had betrayed Stalin and invaded the Soviet Union. So this group lockstep followed the Stalinist line and dragged a bunch of liberals with them, including, you ought to see the coverage, Greg, in the New York Times at this period. You talk about a duped newspaper. Unbelievable. The Times had no idea how they were suckering even the Times in its coverage. It continues into the Cold War. The first Cold War president, who, remember, is a Democrat named Harry Truman, anti-communist, anti-Stalin, and the American communists went after Truman with an utter ferocity. They demonized Truman. They called him the Butcher of Hiroshima, accused Truman of trying to bring the Nazis back into power in West Germany, said that the Marshall Plan was a form of colonial racism and imperialism. And all these words that I'm using, these were words directly out of the columns in the Honolulu Record by Frank Marshall Davis, Obama's mentor. So the communists did this for decades, exploiting, by and large, liberals and demonizing democratic liberal presidents. And now here we are, and in our universities and our historians, they're portraying the demons as the anti-communists, people like Joe McCarthy. You know, liberals, please understand, these communists were not your friends. They thought that you were idiots. They exploited you again and again and again.
Last question, because we're just about out of time, Dr. Kengor, but I mentioned in our introduction that a very effective tool over the years for our adversaries was also the activism in Hollywood. And this goes all the way back to legendary names like Humphrey Bogart and even some earlier than that. And obviously, we still see that today. How did the communists decide to bring Hollywood into this mix?
Yeah, well, that was because a bunch of the Hollywood screenwriters, who Hollywood liberals thought were fellow liberals, were in fact communists. And they were brought to Washington in October 1947, these communists were, to testify before Congress. And everybody listening, or a lot of people listening, will think, oh, yeah, the Hollywood 10, the Hollywood blacklist. Oh, these poor innocent lambs who were persecuted by HUAC and all these bad people in Congress. Look, you won't read this, but if you go back and actually read the transcripts, and I have all this stuff in the book, but John Howard Lawson, Bessie, Maltz, Dalton Trumbo, all of these guys, when they were called to testify, Congress put them on the stand and put up giant poster boards, not only with all of their writings for the Daily Worker and Masses and Mainstream, they actually put their five-digit Communist Party card numbers on display. These guys were communists, and when that's exposed, people like Humphrey Bogart and Gene Kelly and Lauren Bacall and Danny Kaye, they watch this and they think, oh boy, were we duped. Man, were we suckered. You guys lied to us. Bogart flew into a rage. You know, you blankers, you sold me out, you know, yelling at these guys. So really, I mean, the people who were manipulated here, the bad guys here, were not the people in Congress. They weren't Joe McCarthy, who at that point wasn't even on the scene yet, but these communists in Hollywood who lied to the liberals. And this is part of the historical narrative, too, that has been conveniently forgotten by our history professors and popular media and biographers.
Very interesting. Dr. Kengor, thank you very much for being with us today.
All right, Greg.
Dr. Paul Kengor teaches political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. His brand new book is Dupes, How America's Adversaries Have Manipulated Progressives for a Century. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.